We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's up? Happy Friday. Welcome in episode 144 of Hogue and Johns. Adam Hogue and Adam Johns here with you on what has turned out to be a very, very busy week for the Chicago Bears. They jumped ahead of everyone else, got their head coach. The staff is starting to come together, and we decided to get back together ourselves.
It's good to see you.
So we can sort all this out.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good to see me?
Yeah. Sometimes. Today, I think so.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Gonna miss that.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. Read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. All our reaction from the week and the coaching news and Adam Schefter Johns breaking news. It's all up there. Search Hogan Johns on Twitter. Tune in the WGN Radio app. It's all there for you. Please rate and review the podcast if you don't mind. And also check out, so I mentioned on the, so we had a crazy earlier the week. We had planned to do the podcast Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The news broke Monday that they're hiring Matt Nagy.
Nagy.
Which we'll get into that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shifted things to an emergency podcast Monday. We had an interview with Brian Urlacher scheduled for Tuesday. That was going to be part of the podcast we were scheduled to do. So I went ahead and did that interview anyway, posted it as a bonus episode, segment, whatever you want. So if you missed that, it is up, WGNradio.com/Bears or on iTunes or your podcast feed, whatever. You should see it in there. And it's short. It's only like 12, 13 minutes, just kind of a supplemental interview. But I thought Brian was very interesting. I talked to him a little bit about defending Andy Reid's offense when he was a player. He went into that and how Mitch Trubisky fits in. We talked about the Hall of Fame, Charles Tillman's candidacy for the Hall of Fame, some interesting stuff in there. So check that out.
Did he tell you much about his hair?
No, it seemed like he wanted to stay away from that.
The hair?
I mentioned it at the end that we would look for him at all the billboards. Because you can't drive 5 minutes in the city without...
Oh, I was going to say, how does he feel about driving up and down 294? Like, oh, there's my head. There's my head again.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my old picture next to my new picture. Oh, hey Ryan Sandberg.
So I said that right at the end as I was saying goodbye to him, and I think he hung up on me. You can't tell in the...
You made a hair joke and he hung up on
you. I know. You can't tell in the interview. It didn't really sound like... But all of a sudden, he wasn't really... Because, you know, we were recording, so when it was done, I was going to be like, thanks, Brian. You know, have a good day or whatever. You know, just off the air.
Mm-hmm.
But he was gone. He was not there anymore.
Long gone.
So I was just talking to myself at that point.
Well,
but
that's what you get for trying to make a hair...
I know.
...joke or
I
question.
Know.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he looks good with the hair. I still like him bald.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he hung up on me.
Well, if he does go in the Hall of Fame... His bust has to be bald, right?
Yeah, he can't go in with hair.
No, it's just... It has to be bald.
No.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
Yes.
That would be weird. All right, so a couple special things for you in this episode I'm really excited for. Our producer, Joe Romano, has been working overtime this week, literally, because he's been also producing the Steve Cochran Show in the morning all week. So waking up at, you know... What time have you been waking up for this, Joe?
I set my alarm for 3:30.
Oh, man. Yeah. See, I can do that like once a week when I go on TV.
Yeah.
But not 5 days a week.
No.
No.
What time are you going to bed?
Whenever I get tired, buddy.
Touche.
So like you might be napping during this podcast, which is fine.
Yeah, you guys actually just woke me up. No.
At least we didn't put you to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually been kind of weird. I guess it's been closer to like 9 or 10 than I thought it would. I mean, because usually if I'm working the morning show, I'm out like 6 o'clock sometimes. So, I don't know. It's just kind of, it's all about adrenaline and, you know.
I like that, adrenaline.
Throwing it into the extra gear. I mean, I got to work hard when Adam Johns is breaking the head coach news. I got to follow in his footsteps, you know.
Adam Johns!
All right. Well. Couple things Joe did this week that we're bringing to you in this podcast.
I can't wait.
One, we
can't
are,
wait.
We are way backlogged on voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even think we ever played the ones from the Vikings.
We just have segments of them.
So, he put together the best of the ones about Matt Nagy getting hired this week. So, you're going to hear the voicemails here in a second. But also, later on in the podcast, I think this is what everyone's been waiting for. It's the best of What Does the Fox Say? From 3 years. I mean, we went back 3 years.
Wow.
Because we've been doing this segment for 3 years now on this podcast. And there's been some good ones over the years. And Joe, I sent him all the John Fox stuff I had saved on my computer. And I just said, you do it, buddy. And so I have not heard it. I'm excited to hear it. I'll be hearing it for the first time, just like our listeners. So we'll have that for you a little bit later on. But first, the voicemail line is 312-222-5050. And people have been chiming in all week on the Bears head coaching hire. So here are this week's voicemails.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan Johns voicemail.
The Hogan Johns voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Yeah, this is Bob over on the north side there. And I think the Bears need to get back to the fire to bash you with the 85, you know, ex-players there. I need to go after, you know, a Jeff Fisher type or, you know, maybe a Leslie Frazier or Mike Singletary. You know, maybe bring back even like, you know, Rex Ryan to run the defense. You know, his buddy Ryan's kid there and, you know, bring back Jim McMahon to coach the quarterbacks to run the offense or something. Yeah, you just really need to get back to that 85 Bears team, you know, the fire and the passion that they used to have. You know, Mike Dick to run the fall office there or something, you know. He's getting a little old coaching, but, you know, you got to bring back the fire and the passion. The Bears.
Matt from North Carolina. I'm kind of leaning towards Matt Nagy, obviously. Guy's got a great first name, same as mine. Means a gift from God, so how could you go wrong with that?
Joe from Chicago calling about Ryan Pace hiring Matt Nagy. You know, I thought he was going to go with McDaniels or Shurmur for sure. I thought those were the safer picks, but Matt Nagy, man, Ryan Pace has some muy grande huevos.
Michael from Illinois. Now that Matt Nagy is the Chicago Bears head coach, how will they utilize Tariq Cohen on the offense different from what they used him this year?
Grant in Los Angeles. The Bears definitely got their man in Nagy. Look, Josh McDaniels would have been a great choice and may have helped the Patriots rally from a 25-point deficit to win the Super Bowl, but Nagy's Titans rallied from 18 down in the playoffs. Wait, what? Nagy was the Chiefs OC? I can't believe it. You mean the I can't manage the clock, can't get out of the first round of the playoff, Andy Reid-led Chiefs? Nagy's his play caller for the past six NFL games? With the first pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select...
Paul from Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. Who wouldn't be happy with the offensive coordinator of a team that in the second time in the National Football League history had a 1,000-yard receiver, a 1,000-yard tight end, and a 1,000-yard running back? I know I am. Go Bears.
Frank, Southside Chicago, new head coach Matt Nagy. Jeez, what was his application? I love Trubisky, won't spend your money, maybe 8-8. I don't know. What was the point of firing a coach with experience who needed one more year and maybe his team would have been the same as this team? This guy's got no experience, got no nothing, and we're just hiring him completely based off the fact that he's attracted to the same player our GM was attracted to. Yeah, that makes sense. Typical McCaskey and Chicago Bears move.
Lee Allen Jones calling from the south side of Chicago. Welcome to Chicago, Matt Nagy. Looking forward to watching you score a lot of points. Have a great career.
Mark, Harvard, Illinois, and I just got a quick question. Say Vic Fangio doesn't come back to the Chicago Bears. What's a really good defensive coordinator to replace him? I've heard names like Jack Del Rio and Chuck Pagano. I just want to get your insight.
Kalimba calling from the west side of Chicago. Ryan Pace needs his ass fired, period. You got a chance to go get Josh McDaniels or Shurmur from Minnesota, and you go get Nagy? Oh, my God. Yeah, he need to get fired ASAP.
Brian from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Who the hell is Matt Nagy? I thought he was a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians back in the 90s. Great. Now we're hiring ex-pitchers to coach the offense for the Bears. Wonderful. Can't wait for 2018.
Hoagie, John D. Baby, Joey Joe Rowe, Joe, Bob Dabrowski here. Points.
We got ourselves a coach. All right, how about it? Coach Matt Nagy, he's going to be, he's the torch in the darkness, this guy, okay? He's going to be like the beacon of light that shoots down from heaven and gives everybody just a glimpse of hope. I love it, all right? He's going to take Mitchie Trubisky, the pretty boy assassin. He's going to go the meme war on him, and he's going to mold that Mondo Clay into just a starting caliber quarterback that's going to rival Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning among the greats, Johnny Unitas, what have you. All right, I'm just excited, fellas.
Thanks, Bob, for saving those voicemails.
Yeah.
Wow. You got the Bob imposter at the beginning and a bunch of negativity in
there. Yeah. A lot of negative neggies out there.
Negative neggies. Well, all right. One guy got the name right.
Neggy.
Neggy.
Mm-hmm. And it is Neggy.
All right, we need to talk about that. This is not a pronunciation issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's an accent issue. All right? It's not like, what's it? James Betcher, which is a defensive coordinator name we'll be talking about later.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like saying his name wrong. Like, I don't know how else you would
Boucher.
Say it. Like Becker or something yeah, like okay. that. Okay? This is just where you live in the country. You say Nagy or Neggy. Like, there was one time he said it in his own press conference where it sounded like Nagy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It takes effort. It really does take effort to say Nagy. Naturally, I want to say Nagy.
Because if we were from Pennsylvania, we would probably say Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably other Nagys. Like, the caller, we just had a caller who said his name was Nagy.
Yeah. What helps me is reminding myself it rhymes with Peggy.
Yeah. Or egg.
Peggy, Nagy, Peggy.
Yeah.
But it takes effort. I've done multiple radio hits. I've been on TV, and I've used Nagy, Nagy, Nagy. Mm-hmm. At least three different forms of his name. Even when we asked him, the Sun-Times sat down with him for like 10, 15 minutes the day he was introduced. And Pat Finley, my colleague, goes, how do we pronounce your name? And he goes, Nagy. And I'm right next to him. I go, Nagy, Nagy, Nagy. Like, it was almost, come on, buddy. Help me. Correct me if I'm wrong. And I finally got it. Nagy, Nagy. It's going to take some time.
Yeah. I also don't think it's that big of a deal, though. This is like Tom Thibodeau or Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Those are two different words.
Yeah. People only got the nickname wrong. Is it Tibbs or Thibs? I always went Tibbs.
Well, that was what was confusing, because his nickname was Tibbs.
Yes.
But his name was Thibodeau.
Yeah, but some people called him Thibs.
Yeah, I think it's just Tibbs. I think that's what... I don't know. Whatever. He's in Minnesota now.
Yes.
Winning a lot more games than the Bulls. Although, not lately. The Bulls have been pretty entertaining.
Yeah, actually, Marketer might be a player.
Ooh, I like him. All right. Let's get to our reaction from the press conference. Matt Nagy's press conference. Because we did our podcast Monday, the press conference was Tuesday. We really haven't had a chance to react. You mentioned the time the Sun-Times sat down with him afterwards. I got a chance to briefly speak with him as well. Just introduce myself. I came across really impressed. Look, let's be honest. If there had been a head coach that did not win the press conference following John freaking Fox, and they should have been fired immediately after the press conference.
Yes, yes.
Then if like, first of all, it's hard to lose a press conference.
John Fox lost his opening press conference.
Yeah, yeah.
He lost it. It was not good.
Well, that was a foreshadowing of things to come.
Yes.
In every other press conference the rest of the way. So it would have been extremely hard for Matt Nagy not to mm-hmm. win the press conference. But I thought he really, really, really won it. I love the way he owned what happened Saturday in the game.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. I mean, just I asked that question and did not expect an answer. That was one of those, and maybe it's just from talking to John Fox for three straight years. But
your condition.
You ask specific things about games, you don't get an answer. That's how it's been working
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
And I expected him to, you know, politely not be disrespectful about it, like sometimes Fox was, but politely sidestep the question. Instead, he attacked it head on, took the blame. In fact, this is sort of an edited version of what he said, but this was the gist of what he had to say in terms of who was calling the plays in Saturday's playoff game against the Titans, which they blew an 18-point lead.
That was a failure in my book for me, but I'll grow from it and I'll learn from it. I promise you that. So I'll use that as a strength here for me with the Chicago Bears.
And he did own the fact that he called all the plays.
I like it. I like it. I kept thinking to myself, this guy is nothing like John Fox. Almost tweeted it a couple times, but John Fox is a well-respected coach. I don't want to feel like I was, I don't know, throwing stones on his grave or whatever or something like that. I don't want to come off as insulting towards him. He did a lot here. He helped change a lot of good things here at Hallis Hall after the Trestman era. But
no.
But there was a confidence to Nagy that, like, Fox was dismissive, right? And I think there was an arrogance to Fox that was not a part of Nagy. And I think there's a big difference between arrogance and confidence. And I think that comes in, it showed up in how Fox was dismissive, especially in, over his last couple of years, of certain questions, you know, almost insulting the person questioning him. And you know, it's called field position and answers like that. I don't think Nagy even has it in him. Now, maybe 4 or 5 years from now, we'll see that side of him if things don't go well and then certain people annoy him in the press corps. But there seems to be a confidence. There seems to be a comfort level in speaking with us. Maybe that's just his personality. But I just kept, as long as it went, like, what, 40 minutes? This guy is nothing like John Fox. Yep. That was my biggest takeaway.
Well, look, we've played this kind of as a joke.
I try not to be me in this setting.
But that's actually one of the most honest things that John Fox said.
He's ever said, yeah.
In 3 years, because he's not kidding there. He's serious.
I try not to be me in this setting.
So it was basically admitting that when he goes up to the podium every day and does these press conferences, he's trying not to be himself.
He's deliberately full of it.
Yeah.
Yes. Intentionally full of it.
He didn't really hide that. And I guess, so getting back to Matt Nagy's press conference, I don't know. I don't know him.
No.
This is the first day I've ever met him, so I guess I can't really say what he is like. But you got the impression that he was being himself. The way he owned that question about what happened in the game, the way he answered a lot of the questions, I could see why he and Ryan Pace hit it off so well.
Yeah.
They seem very similar. First of all, their age, very close. Yeah. I think they're 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Demeanor, the way they talk about football. And you mentioned the word confidence earlier. There's just like a quiet confidence. The way Ryan has talked over the last 3 years, there's always confidence, conviction in his decisions. Doesn't mess around. He believes in what he believes in, and he does it.
Well, they use some of the same buzzwords, too. I don't know if they were briefed, or it seems to me the longer that press conference went, the more you would get from Nagy in terms of his personality, but he used fire. I don't think Ryan Pace used fired up. Matt Nagy used fired up. He used the words conviction. Some of Ryan Pace's own wording seems to be part of his own vocabulary. But in terms of first impressions, very good. Very positive. A lot different than my first impressions of dealing with John Fox, and a lot different than my first impressions when dealing with Mark Trestman. Just completely different as a person, as a coach, and here's another cliche. Maybe as a leader of men, just completely different vibe from Matt Nagy than I got in my first impressions and dealings with Mark Trestman and John Fox.
Well, a lot of people brought up this week, and I think incorrectly, that, oh, here we go again. Another coach comes in and everybody loves him. Everyone's praising it. I disagree that that's been the case in the past. I mean, maybe, look, anytime a new coach gets brought in the situation, you don't know.
Right.
So everything we're saying here is, yes, he made a good first impression, but it's not a game. We don't know how it's going to translate to game. We don't really know how it's going to translate to the locker room. It may not result in wins. So we know that. Same thing with John Fox. You mentioned that he didn't really win that press conference a few years ago, but I think people gave him the benefit of the doubt because he's been established in the league.
Right.
Well, it turned out that didn't lead to victories. And when Mark Trestman got hired, a lot of people loved the idea. Oh, here's an offensive guy, quarterback guru. He's going to fix Jay Cutler. A lot of people actually liked the hire. Chris Emma actually brought up to me, Chris Emma from The Score brought up to me the other day at before the press conference that he had come across something I wrote the day Mark Trestman was hired, because back then I was writing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, and I didn't look this up, but apparently I wrote something that day that was like, well, wait a minute. Why is a guy who's in his 50s coaching in the Canadian Football League just now getting the head coaching right. job? Like, something doesn't add up. So those things were all brought up at the time. It's not like Matt Nagy is getting praise he doesn't deserve. He won his press conference. He came off very impressive. You can see why it's a fit for this team, not only for Mitch, but with Ryan Pace. I think it's a promising partnership from what I read, and I was in that room and got a chance to talk to both of them that day. I'm impressed with the partnership.
Yeah. Do we know if he's going to be a major success? Absolutely not. Does he deserve some scrutiny because he's only come from Andy Reid? Absolutely. Only has 6 games of play calling? Absolutely. Those are all great concerns to have, and I think they've all been raised. Even his age is a concern. Being in charge of an NFL locker room is a concern. But there are some positives to like. You're right. I think he's more in line with the vision. I think his vision for football and for Mitch Trubisky is more in line with Ryan Pace's vision for football and Mitch Trubisky. Obviously, as much as Ryan Pace liked John Fox, personally, I think their vision for the team eventually just diverged a bit more. They weren't on the same path.
And I've said this numerous times over the last couple of years. The one thing that I like about Ryan Pace is that, for the most part, I think things that are common sense to fans, what they see on the field, what I see on the field, what you see on the field, Johns, has been what he's seen. It's not like, and I always go back to the Shea McClellan example. Like, it didn't make sense from the start. Phil Emery saw something that no one else saw, that he could somehow play in a 4-3. He kept pushing that, even though the evidence on the field was not showing that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He kept telling you things that your eyes were not seeing. With Ryan Pace, I've always felt like, and sometimes it's not always the words that come out of his mouth, but rather the personnel decisions that are made. At the time, most of his free agent signings have made sense. It's not like he's gone out and signed some, other than Mike Glennon maybe, but there was still some logic there.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? When it didn't work out, they made a change.
Yep.
You know, the idea was to have Mitch sit longer. I still think they maybe went a game or two too long with Glennon, but eventually they made the change. Most of these moves, you know, Marcus Wheaton, okay, it didn't work out. Well, guess what? He didn't play very much because he wasn't good. So
he's probably gone.
Most of the things with Ryan Pace, whether they're good moves or bad moves, I feel like there's common sense behind it, and what you see gets backed up by what with the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I felt completely different about that, especially this year. Just common sense things that did not make sense. Why is this guy not on the field? Why is this guy on the field? Why is Tariq Cohen not playing more? Why are you not doing this with Mitch Trubisky? Why are you not being more aggressive? There are just so many questions that applied to the coaching, but not necessarily the front office. So that gets back to Matt Nagy. I am encouraged by the fact that, to me, it looks like they're going to see eye to eye. And there's not going to be this John Fox is off in his different world doing weird things that don't really add up.
That's how you're going to describe John Fox's world?
Siesta.
Taking siestas, doing weird things that don't add up. I like that. I guess I was kind of torn about him having the same vision for Trubisky at first, because I think he needs some disagreement, but I think it's extremely beneficial, because looking back at the Fox era, they did not build things around Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
I think that was Pace giving Mike Glennon to John Fox, giving him a chance to win with the veteran, because you know John Fox does not like to play his rookies. But now so many things are going to revolve around Mitch Trubisky. Brian Pace is moving aggressively forward with that plan, and adding a guy like Matt Nagy who shares a similar draft evaluation of him, I think it's going to be extremely beneficial moving forward for what Trubisky becomes, and that's only going to benefit the Bears.
All right. Let's talk about the defensive coordinator situation now. When we talked on Monday, I think we both expressed some optimism about Vic Fangio coming back. It seemed to make sense. It seemed like Matt Nagy wanted him back. It seemed like, given the opportunities that were out there, the Bears seemed like the best opportunity. And since then, the Packers' job has gotten filled. Other jobs have gotten filled. Gus Bradley's not moving. And yet, here we are on Friday, and it has not been resolved yet.
Could be. Could be soon.
Could be.
Not that message. Don't worry. Not that message. I was looking at my phone, everybody.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you want to break more news, let me know.
Yeah, get the sounder ready, dude.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. Johnson's making faces over here. No, but it's I don't know that it's a good thing that this keeps lingering. And I'm trying to put the pieces together, and I don't know how much longer the Bears can wait on Vic.
Their patience is being tested. I don't know what Vic is waiting for. You would think, okay, if Pat Shurmur is the favorite in what's Arizona, right? Obviously, Vic will be drawn to Arizona. Cheaper taxes. He's closer to California where he's got family. A lot of things make sense for Vic. Good players on that defense. A lot of good players on that defense. Great cornerback. But it's not a sure thing, is it? There seems to be a lot of uncertain pieces, a lot of moving pieces. There's going to be a lot of subversive actions by the Cardinals to lock that up. Because the Vikings, they could win this weekend. Mm-hmm. They could go all the way down to the Super Bowl in their own town. That's a long time to wait to for a lot. And you got to align a lot of things to work out. So obviously you got to get your staff in order. Dan Quinn was lucky enough to lock up Kyle Shanahan. Can Pat Shurmur do that with Vic Fangio? Can you honestly have legal talks with the Cardinals of what you could pay Vic Fangio right now? I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
So if the Bears are willing to throw lots of money at Vic Fangio, it's my understanding they're willing to go as high as Vic wants. Top dollar for Vic Fangio. Does he know that the Cardinals can match that?
Well, technically he's a free agent, so I believe he can talk to the Cardinals, whether they have a head coach or not.
But don't you want the head coach locked up first?
Well, right, but If they're having back channel discussions with Pat Shurmur,
yeah.
A handshake agreement like what happened with Kyle Shanahan last year, and as long as they've met the Rooney Rule and things like that, I believe that's legal.
Yeah, well, it's got to be also because you can't announce any additions,
right.
And you still got certain coaches that are under contract. Their defensive coordinator, you mentioned earlier, he's under contract.
Well, this may explain the holdup though, because there's been different reports out there. Okay. One being that Vic Fangio would like to come with, or could come with Pat Shurmur to Arizona. Their defensive coordinator is James Betcher, who's only 39. He's a lot younger, and he's done a really good job under Bruce Arians, both as a position coach in Indianapolis, came over with him from Indy to Arizona, where he was the outside linebackers coach, and then got promoted to defensive coordinator when Todd Bowles got the Jets job. And has done a good job the last 2 years. A little bit riskier because he is not as established as Vic Fangio. Fangio has a track record, a number of different stops where you can prove it's the coordinator doing the work. When you just got one stop, and yes, that defense has been very good, but as you mentioned a couple minutes ago, they have really good players too. So it's not a sure thing that James Betcher can go to Chicago, and while I think there's good pieces here too on the defense, it's not a sure thing that he can, hey, brand new squad, roster, put it all together. There's a little bit more risk involved there, although I do like him as a defensive coordinator. I don't think it's a bad backup option. But getting back to the timing of all this, he's under contract.
Right. He's got 2 years left on his deal, I believe.
So he kind of has to wait. Or there has to be permission granted. So he's kind of waiting out their head coaching situation, and Vic Fangio might be waiting out.
He interviewed for that head coaching position.
That's
all. He's got Bruce Arians' endorsement.
That's part of this too, which is why he's might wait this all out. So this complicated situation. By the way, the Vikings play Sunday. They could win, and a whole another week here involved. So how long can the Bears wait? Do they have some kind of back channel talk with his agent or something? I don't know. where maybe they know that there's interest if he does get let out of his contract. If it's an either-or situation and you don't really have to be worried outside of that, then maybe this drags on longer. But there could maybe they also got to tell Vic at some point, hey, man, you got to make a decision.
Right, you can't wait forever. You can't.
But why would they do that? If James Betcher is their backup and they can't get him right now, then why would they give Vic a deadline?
Well, maybe they have other options.
Okay.
Who else is out there? Jack Del Rio? Chuck Pagano?
Yep.
Did he land back with the Ravens yet?
I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about that.
Did the Ravens hire somebody yet for defensive coordinator?
I'll double check.
So the negotiations don't take this long. Look how fast the Packers moved on Mike Pettine. Paul Gunther moving to Oakland. I mean, these things happen fast.
Right. I gotta imagine the offers there. And
Yes.
It's just a yes or no at this point.
Right. It should be. I don't know if you got to put an ultimatum on it, but here's another interesting thing.
Oh, they did. The Ravens got, this happened the other day, Don Wink Martindale. They just promoted him.
Okay. That's a nice name.
Yeah, Wink.
Don Wink Martindale?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, the negotiations, they don't take this long, especially for coordinator positions. The coordinators are hired fast. Real fast. And obviously, Vic has some leverage. Obviously, the Bears like him. I think Vic is more open to the Bears than people believe. Maybe he's torn about some certain things. Maybe it's the family situation that he has out in California. But look, the entire Bears defensive coaching staff is still in place, too. From Ed Donatell to Glenn Pyers to Brandon Staley to Sean Desai. I mean, they're still around.
Yeah.
The entire offensive staff is gone.
Right.
That's telling. Maybe Dave Ragone. And he could be gone soon enough as well.
Yeah,
it's very telling.
I think the fact that all the coaches are still around is very interesting.
You don't see that. Usually you get one or two leave almost immediately. So obviously they're protecting them. I don't think they may even be on. I don't know how many are under contract. I'm sure a couple are, but yeah, interesting stuff.
All right. Well, we'll be continuing to watch that. I guess in conclusion, I'd say I don't feel as great about it as I did Monday. But I there's a lot of moving pieces here. A lot of moving pieces. So I know everyone's getting anxious. I can see it in my Twitter feed every 5 minutes. There's someone asking about Fangio. So
I felt really optimistic about it on Tuesday.
Yeah, I did too.
Now things have kind of lingered into Friday, so we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, there's been a couple other interesting hires, and we'll talk about those in a minute, but I think it's time.
Yes. Yes.
To bring the great What Does the Fox Say? This is our tribute to John Fox, our official goodbye, should we call it. We are retiring this segment.
We got to come up with a new one for Nagy.
Well, I don't think he's going to deliver the same kind of sound bites.
No.
But we'll figure something out. But John Fox is gone, and it is time to officially retire What Does the Fox Say?
Other than that, open it up for questions.
What does the Fox say?
I'm not really sure how to answer that. Sorry about the voice. There's some unfamiliar area or infamiliar, whatever that word is, non-familiar. Got lost my razor. Truth be told, my wife wasn't in town all week, so I didn't anybody getting on me about it.
That's a real story. I actually have pictures to prove that.
What does the Fox say?
I think... Me personally, we tell you the body part, and that's all we have to tell you.
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
I think we've had our hands on our share of balls. There's a skill set to that.
Actually, my feet are very ticklish.
I try not to be me in this setting.
Siesta.
What does the Fox say?
I think, well done. It'd be well said. My mom. Yeah. Obviously, she was a female monkey. Sexy. No. In my experience, sugar goes a lot further than vinegar. No.
What does the Fox say?
And Carlos Santos.
What was, kind of unusual about Brian was he kind of played like a monster man in New Mexico. Had we had the coolness of the hot dog Latin press box, we might have gone there.
Siesta.
I was a math major. I wasn't, actually, but...
What does the Fox say? say.
You know, I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three. You know, I think Adams had a good season.
I asked a question again. I cracked myself up.
Is that it? That was great. I got caught off guard there at the end because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, my stomach hurts.
Oh, man. Good thing at a podcast, there's a rewind button if you want to listen to it again.
Yes.
The hot dog late in press.
I forgot about that. How did we forget about that one?
That was after the Colts game last year.
They didn't have hot dogs.
I don't think they did.
It's a nice press box.
I think they had pizza.
Mm-hmm.
The hot dog lady press.
What does he think? There's just like
this hot dogs.
Like we sit down, there's a hot dog and bag of chips. We're throwing hot dogs at each other.
Johnsy, weren't you the one that asked the question that brought out that answer?
No, was it?
Where did
I got
you say
the. I got the one. I don't give a rip. That was that one this year.
Oh, yeah. I don't give a rip.
Yeah, I got that one this year. I don't give a rip. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means.
I feel like Potsy was the one with the hot dogs.
Yeah,
it's usually a good bet.
Hot dog laid in press box. What do you got there? Your text messages?
No. The Browns named Adam Henry wide receivers coach and Ken Zampezi as quarterbacks coach.
Thumbs up. Go Browns.
Yes.
You know, I'm not an offense coordinator. I'm not a defense coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
That's one difference that I don't think you're going to hear from Matt Nagy either.
You know what, he does not coordinate all three?
I don't think he's going to claim to be coordinated in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to say, hey, this is your defense. You coordinate.
Here's one thing people always underestimated about John Fox. His involvement on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Goes all the way back to Adam Gase. They ran the offense that he wanted, that Fox wanted to run. It was his offense.
Yeah. One quick thing on the defense, too. If James Betcher ends up being the defense coordinator, did run a 3-4.
Yes.
Important to note. I know there's been some talk that the Bears could go back to a 4-3. I'm not as sold that that would be that easy, and I don't think it would be very smart. And there's one specific player who I'm not sure transcends schemes, and that's Leonard Floyd.
And he 4, yeah.
I don't think he's a 3. I don't think he's a 4-3 will linebacker.
Here's the thing, though.
He's not a defensive end.
These defenses have become so inventive. Vic Fangio ran a hybrid.
Of course he did.
Yes. You can find a role for
but your base still matters.
I know it does. But you see someone. Look at what the Saints play. Nothing but defensive backs out there. Flexibility, it's a pass-happy league. Bryce Callahan's on the field an awful lot. Your nickelback. You can figure some things out with the
well,
pieces
I mean,
you have.
Yeah, Vic was basically bringing in Sherrick McManus there for a while as like a
blitzer. It was just a blitzer.
Linebacker,
it was just
blitzer, whatever yeah. You know, monster man.
What was, you know, kind of unusual about Brian was he kind of played like a monster man in New Mexico.
Sherrick McManus, also known as the Monster Man.
The Monster Man.
But literally, all he did was rush off the edge like he was blocking a kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's your landmark, the quarterback. Go block it.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the offensive coordinator. Very, very interesting hire this week. Mark Helfrich, the old Oregon coach.
So it's Helfrich or Helfrich? Here's another name Chicago's got to learn.
Mark Helfrich. I've always called it Helfrich.
Well, you're Mr. College Football.
Yeah, I think it's Helfrich.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope so. I've been saying that for a long time. Now, see, that would be a pronunciation thing, not an accent thing.
Yes.
Nagy, accent. We're from Chicago. You're Nagy. I don't care if it's
you're
Nagy.
You're changing his name?
You're Nagy.
Yeah, but coach the game, man. You're changing his name.
Yes. Your name is now Nagy. All right. Settled.
What's the scoop? What do you got, Mr. College Football, Mr. Former Oregon?
Well, it's very interesting, a little bit outside the box, but I like it a lot. Because here's the thing. What the problem with Mark Helfrich, who was in a similar situation, by the way, when Chip Kelly was the coach at Oregon. He was the offensive coordinator. But Kelly called the plays. So he had a huge impact on game plans, working with quarterbacks, specifically quarterbacks. And he had a lot of success with that offense, which is why he got promoted to the job, even though he wasn't calling the plays. He got promoted to Chip Kelly's job when Kelly left. And they went to a national title game. Everyone's been putting down Mark Helfrich's work in Oregon. It did fall apart at the end. I don't think he recruited as well. I think that's one thing where things fell apart. You don't have to recruit in the NFL, people. Yeah. All right.
That doesn't bother me. The recruiting. Some guys are recruiters. Like Ron Zook was a good recruiter. Yeah. Bad coach. Good recruiter.
Yeah, and there's, by the way, there's been at least one report that Chip Kelly wanted him to come be his OC at UCLA.
That's my understanding. I heard Arizona was hot after him to be their head coach.
So this is now I would imagine he would have taken the Arizona head coaching job, maybe.
He had NFL aspirations.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think if he turned down Chip Kelly at UCLA to come to the Bears for a job where he's not going to be calling the plays, I think that says that he's made a career decision that he'd much rather be in the NFL. And the feedback I've gotten is that this is a good spot for him because it'll allow him just to focus on offensive game plans and working with Mitch Trubisky, and he will definitely bring concepts from Chip Kelly's system. Now, this is I tweeted out the story. It's one of my favorite football stories. It was written by Chris Brown. You follow him on Twitter, @SmartFootball. He knows football inside and out. He wrote a great story for Grant.
That's why he's called Smart Football.
Yeah. Good point. Grantland, RIP Grantland, he wrote this piece on Chip Kelly's offense back in 2012 when Kelly was still the head coach at Oregon and how it might translate to the NFL. And he went through all these different concepts that are already in the NFL, people, about creating mismatches on the line of scrimmage, accounting for blockers, doing things so that you always have an advantage. All these different things. I encourage you, it's on my Twitter feed, @AdamHogue, to go check that story out because it explains it all. Everyone's got this idea, Chip Kelly's offense doesn't work in the NFL, this type of... Not only does it work, it's actually a great fit for Mitch Trubisky.
I remember it working very well on a cold night in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Remember that night?
Chip Kelly's problem was not his offense. It was...
Running out the talent?
Way too much control over the roster and screwed up there. That was his downfall.
Well, Chip Kelly also adjusted to the NFL game a bit, too.
Of course.
Yeah, it's what you do.
Which is the same thing that's going to happen here. This is going to be probably a blend of what Matt Nagy learned from Andy Reid, as well as some ideas that he has that he wants to run, that he did make some of these changes when he took over the play calling late in the year for the Chiefs. So the bottom line is, I think Helfrich is a great hire for Mitch. I like that it's going to be a blend of these two systems. And more than anything, it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
This offense is going to look a lot different next year.
Well, the Patriots had Chip Kelly as what, a consultant? Was he officially a consultant?
I don't know if he was officially a consultant, but he went and checked out the Patriots.
A lot.
Like, studied their what was going on there a lot.
Yes. And Bill Belichick wanted to speed up his game, get some tempo things going, looking for mismatches, certain things like that. So I think the Bears are actually being quite forward-thinking. Again, will it work? No, we don't know that. We don't know that. I think we have to preface all our statements with that because we've seen certain things, a lot of things fail with the Bears over here, but there are so many reasons to be excited about it. Forget this old philosophy of taking what the defense gives us. Matt Nagy, did it again, wants to attack. He wants to be aggressive. You just listen to people that talk about him. He wants to be an aggressive play caller. He wants to attack defenses. Sure, he'll take what the defense gives him here or there, but he wants to create those mismatches. He wants to create the spacing for these players to succeed. So the offensive approach is changing under Nagy and Helfrich. Helfrich? Helfrich?
Helfrich.
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 Yeah.
Boy, we're going to have a rough year.
Nagy. And we got another one.
It's all part of it. It's all about spacing, finding those, creating those mismatches. Forget finding them, creating them for yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have guys like Tariq Cohen to get the football to. Guys like Adam Shaheen to get the football to. I mean, the Bears do have a couple weapons to at least build their thought process around when they start targeting certain free agents and then go into the draft.
Cohen is the one guy that he has to be having a great week just watching all this. Because I can't wait to see how he is utilized.
Yep.
Man, I can remember the Rose Bowl, Wisconsin, Oregon, back in 2011, and watching DeAnthony Thomas, Kenyon Barner was on that offense,
yeah.
But especially DeAnthony Thomas, who, by the way, has had a pretty good special teams career for the Chiefs with Dave Tobe. But those guys were just And actually, some of those plays are broken down in this piece I just brought up with Chris Brown, because they bring he shows you in this piece situations where Wisconsin actually had the numbers accounted for, and Chip Kelly still had a way
to
break. I forget if it was D'Anthony Thomas on that specific play or Barner, but get the ball in a speedster's hand.
In space.
And there he is going. And it was like, this game was like a video game. It was like up and down, 80-yard gain, 80-yard gain. It was so fun to watch. And just watch. I fell in love with Oregon that day. They beat my Badgers. And I was like, this team is freaking awesome. Yeah. I love this offense. It is so exciting to watch. And Mark Helfrich was there. Kyle Long was, I think that might have been the year before Kyle Long was there. Anyway. That's the other part is Kyle Long, Hieronymus Grassou, their old coach is coming.
Yeah, yeah, they got to be happy. Hieronymus Grassou especially has to be happy about that. Maybe it's a breath of fresh life in his career because, God, this is his fourth year, contract year for Hieronymus Grassou coming up. So, hey, maybe Kodway Harris back at guard. Who knows? I think he's better at center, but that's another story. I just like the approach that they're taking for the offense. Their entire offensive approach is going to be different than this conservative John Fox. Let's not turn the ball over. Let's play safe as sound as can be.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that anymore. Yes, there's benefits to that. I think Mr. Trubisky has some of that ball security mindset. I think that's going to carry over. That's a great positive to have. I think he just naturally has it. It's like the idea of North Carolina. But to attack defenses, to create spaces for your players who have the talents to take the ball the distance. Well, it's exciting.
Look at Alex Smith. Didn't he have if he didn't have the best TD to turnover ratio this year, it was up there.
He had the best passer rating, I believe, in the NFL, and I believe a career low interception rate this year.
So you can be an aggressive offense and still not turn the ball over if you have those instincts. And I do think that was one of the positives from Mitch Trubisky's season. By the way, I know it's kind of hypocritical for me to bring this up because we always question Pro Football Focus's grades and the validity. Mm-hmm. But all that talk about Deshaun Watson, Mitch Trubisky, Trubisky ended up with a better grade at the end of the year.
For Pro Football Focus?
Yeah.
How so? Even I will question that. And I've been a critic of Deshaun Watson's success. Well, I mean, he's throwing to better receivers.
Yes, he was, but also go back and watch those games. Yes, he was playing well, but there were plenty of mistakes.
He had a lot of turnovers.
And there's the other thing. So we always talk about how when we're covering games on Sundays, we don't get to see much of the other action. So week 17, everyone was praising Patrick Mahomes' game. I went back and watched, after the Bears hired Nagy on Monday, I went back and watched that tape. Mahomes was not that good. He made some incredible throws, and you saw a lot of the good, but I saw basically the same stuff I saw on his college tape.
Yeah.
It was a lot of mistakes. A lot of questionable decisions. So, I don't know. People, we got to be careful in today's social media world where, like, it's like these consensuses build on social media, and it's just fact.
Right.
And it's like, go back and watch the tape. Was it really that good?
Well, one memory of, if we're going to compare Watson and Trubisky right now, everybody's going crazy about some 70-yard touchdown pass that Sean Watson had, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I'll go back and watch it. He threw the ball behind the line of scrimmage to DeAndre Hopkins, and that guy just ran through I think it was the Seahawks defense, and went 70 yards, went the distance. Okay. You could have made that throw, Adam.
Well, I will say it. Today, I have not changed my quarterback rankings from the draft. I had Trubisky 1, I had Watson 2, and I am not changing that. I still think that's how it's going to play out. And I did the same thing last year, and I might end up being wrong about this one, but I said the same thing at the end of last season with Goff and Wentz. Last year played exactly how I thought it would with Goff. I said always that Wentz will be better early. Goff will long-term be the better player because he has more potential. Now, Wentz is pretty damn good. But they still look
take
like...
take care of his body. He's reckless when he runs.
They still look like 1A and 1B. Maybe you would put Wentz 1A and Goff 1B right now. I had them the other way when they came out. But
I think some teams like the personality of Wentz better than Goff, which comes into the evaluation.
But let's... the point here being more than anything, give it more than a year. Let this stuff play out. I still think Trubisky's going to be pretty good. All right. Speaking of DeAnthony Thomas earlier in a Dave Tobe special team situation, well, how about Tariq Cohen in a Chris Tabor situation? Chris Tabor, the kind of protege of Dave Tobe, who has been out in Cleveland for 7 years somehow.
That's an accomplishment.
It is, but I also feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. You think it's punishment?
Yeah. I don't know. Again, talking about social media reaction, a lot of Browns fans chiming in. They were glad he was leaving. You don't stay in one place with that much turmoil unless you're good at your job, because the team doesn't want you to leave.
Right.
Because you're under contract and they don't let you leave. That means you're doing a pretty good job. The Browns have had the worst bottom of the roster of any team over the last 7 years.
They had Josh Cribbs, though, for a couple of years. He was a good returner.
That's true. But, I mean, if he's doing a good job in Cleveland, that means he's a pretty good special teams coordinator.
And for all those Bears fans that got a soft spot for Dave Tobe for whatever reason, he learned from Dave Tobe. Arguably the best special teams coordinator going in the game right now. Mm-hmm. So that's a benefit. I'm excited about the offensive line coach. What can Cody Whitehair, Kyle Long, Charles Leno, the next high draft pick offensive lineman can do for
Quentin Nelson?
Quentin Nelson, yeah. I didn't want to say it, but you said it.
Well, they hired Harry Hiestand,
who used
to be the Bears offensive line coach and has been out Notre Dame.
Big hire, man.
He's been at Notre Dame. He is well-respected across the league.
And that's putting it mildly. This guy's beloved.
Yeah.
He's one of the best in the game.
No, I think it's a great hire, and you know it doesn't mean that the Bears are going to use their first round draft pick on Quentin Nelson or Mike McGlinchey,
but it does mean
that they are going to intimately know whether or not those guys are good or bad.
Yeah, and even beyond them, how many? To think about the recruiting that Notre Dame does, right? They're going for the 5-star guys, right? Your future All American like type players. Mm-hmm. So Harry Hiestand probably has notes on a lot of these top kids are coming out right now. Who's one of the kid from Chicago who's the tackle for Ohio State? Jamarco Jones?
For Ohio State?
Yeah, from Simeon?
Yeah.
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 I'm sure he's got notes on him, if you want to take a look at him. I'm sure he recruited him out of Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, this stretches beyond just Notre Dame kids. A great starting point, especially with Quentin Nelson and McGlinchey coming out. But I'm sure he's staying just in terms of his relationships and his own recruiting over the past couple of years. He's got a good feel for a lot of these top guys coming out right now.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the early returns on the Matt Nagy hires.
Nagy hires.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but how did they pull that off? It seemed like the Notre Dame guy, you know, around the league, that was a thumbs up hire. What is his connection? How did Nagy and Pace pull that off?
I think this might be a Bears connection. Because he coached for the Bears before.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the end that he had, is just some previous front office ties to Harry Hiestand. And they made it work. It's quite the steal. Call it a steal. There are other NFL teams. Greg Gabriel, who knows Harry Hiestand quite well because they work with the Bears together, said there are other teams after him. Did he say the Raiders were one team?
Yeah, he did.
So this guy turned down John Gruden for Matt Nagy. That says so much to me.
Well, I didn't have to move far. That helps.
Yeah, that does help.
I think it's been a good week for...
Still, the Raiders give a Gruden $10 million a year contracts. You know, what are they paying their offensive line coaches then?
Boy, they might have... they're probably going to get fined for violating the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, I'm sure Mark Davis cares. You know, he's got a lot of money for
Aren't they in trouble because Mark Davis just admitted... Isn't that how it came out, that he just admitted the timeline?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got money. You can tell. He's very frugal. Look at his haircut.
Hey, before we get out of here, quickly, I do want to talk about the games this weekend, but have you been paying attention to what's going on in Green Bay?
In terms of the front office exodus? It's called an exodus.
I think Bears fans should be very encouraged by what's going on in Green Bay, and I think Packer fans should be asking some serious questions about what they're doing, because this has the looks of disaster. Not immediately, but whenever Aaron Rodgers starts to go downhill, and maybe that won't be for 2 or 3 years, whatever.
But you get hurt again.
The argument up there is that he had been covering up a lot of problems for Ted Thompson, and they decided to move on from Ted Thompson. And
let's see, pronounce the new GM's last name.
Brian Gutekunst.
That's a name. Gutekunst. That actually kind of flows. Gutekunst.
But here's, I don't know really much about Brian Gutekunst. I don't have a problem with them hiring him. But I have a problem with the structure that they've decided. Mark Murphy is decided to take over more responsibility, get more involved, and he's created a three-headed monster with Brian Gutekunst. Who's the other guy they promote? I'm sorry. They put some other guy who, the cap guy. Their cap guy is taking over like half of the GM duties, and they're on an equal level. So Gutekunst has roster control, and this other guy like is handling the rest of football operations instead of it being one guy. And then Mike McCarthy is reporting straight to Mark Murphy, not to the GM.
Right.
So they're basically creating a three-headed I mean, this
you're creating potential for conflict.
Oh, my God, yes.
Apparently there already was a bunch of conflict.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, how this solves the problem.
So I was texting with a Packers fan from college, and I'm like, what's up with the Packers front office exodus? He goes, good riddance. I'm like, well, what do you mean? There's a lot of good football minds leaving. Ron Wolf's son just left.
Yeah, Elliot Wolf just left for the Browns.
Yes, yes. You have all sorts of people. And it's like following other guys that have left the organization over the years, like your John Schneiders of the world, right? Your John Dorsey. Guys have left the Packers before. So a lot of good football minds have left the Packers over the years. But he goes, well, the Packers have drafted bad for years now. You know, Bears fans don't realize. Maybe it's just the high standards the Packers hold themselves to, but they've missed on some guys over the past few years. Even like the starters they get.
Yeah.
They wouldn't necessarily be starters on other teams. So the talent level on the Packers, especially defensively, has dipped. So he was saying good riddance. But these are still accomplished football minds. I mean, Elliot Wolf gets GM interviews with other teams, you know, not just because he's Ron Wolf's son, but because he has an eye for talent. When people are leaving your organization for the Cleveland Browns, it's not a good look. Not a good look whatsoever.
And Russ Ball is the one who was promoted to executive vice president / football operations. And then McCarthy is reporting straight to Murphy, who is now this is from Ryan Wood's story on Packers News. Mark Murphy is going to take on the role of more of a, you know, an actual owner. So, once again, all of you people that have those slips that say you own the Packers.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Take it out of the frame, everybody.
Good luck with that. anyway, I'm just bringing this up now. I think the Packers are headed the wrong direction, especially, and it's not going to happen right away because they still have the best talented quarterback.
It's still an aging team, though, with some of their best players, even like your Jordy Nelsons of the world. Clay Matthews has been playing forever.
Yeah.
You know, things can hit them hard and fast.
And I know there was talk about Vic Fangio going up to Green Bay. I think that created good leverage for him, potentially. But would you really want to go to Green Bay right now?
Well, not today. It's kind of cold.
Well, yeah, but Mike McCarthy might be out next year.
Yeah.
And how's that going to go down? If Rodgers gets hurt again, they lose a bunch of games next season. How's that all going to play out with that three-headed power situation? Murphy's going to have to fire McCarthy. Then who makes the hire?
Yeah.
It's a lot of questions there up in Green Bay. All right. We're not going to go through the games like we normally do, but just your thoughts on the games this weekend. I mean, let's start on the AFC side. Any way that it's not Patriots Steelers?
No. We know we were due for the James Harrison revenge game. You know that's coming.
That is coming. Here's my thing, though, about the Jaguars Steelers game on Sunday.
Okay.
So second time that this game has been played up in Pittsburgh this year. Jacksonville went up there and killed them.
That was like week three, right? Week four?
I agree.
Week five, it knocked me out of the eliminator.
Oh.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's what happened.
That had to be painful. But how does it? What was the final score in that game? They won by like 20 points.
30-9. 3-0-9. Pittsburgh didn't show up.
30-9. Do you have that like hanging in your room, like the 28-3?
I don't like to lose. Yeah, I don't like to lose.
Roethlisberger threw 5 interceptions at him or something like that.
But Steelers are favored by 7.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite the
Steelers are the better team.
I would say the Jaguars might have the best unit in their defense.
With the secondary, the cornerbacks.
The whole defense. I'm saying that might be the best unit that's on the field on Sunday.
Okay. With all due respect to Tyrod Taylor, or not much, Ben Roethlisberger comes to play in certain games like these. Now, I know Antonio Brown's got the gimpy calf, but Martavius Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster, Le'Veon Bell, come on.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I think the Steelers win, but I think Jaguars cover. I think it's a closer game than people think. It's hard to pick the Jaguars in a game like this when you got Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
It still comes out to the quarterback.
I've read, how many times has he been asked about the haters? He must have a lot of haters if media keeps asking about the haters.
He sucked last week.
He did.
That was a tough game to watch.
He did.
From a quarterback's standpoint.
I think the best game is Vikings-Saints.
I do, too. I know my Minnesota family up there, they're nervous. 5-point favorites the Vikings are against the Saints. The Saints are playing well. And when they've been playing well this year, they've been really hard to beat. I'm going to take the Vikings, but I think it's very close.
Well, what happened last week with the Saints? Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram were like non-factors. Mm-hmm. Carolina came back, made a game out of it. Obviously, they don't have... I think the difference is that Minnesota has a secondary that can contain the Saints receiving threats. Carolina doesn't have that anymore, as good as they are defensively. Yeah. They're not what they were a couple years ago.
Well, I guess now we are making picks. But anyway, I'll take the Vikings to win, but Saints to cover the 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe, you got any thought on this game?
Yeah, I think that's the one game where, from the teams that played last weekend, I feel like New Orleans would be the one team that kind of got beat up a little bit. You know, that was so close all the way to the very end. Tough battle, divisional team. I think Minnesota really catches a break playing them this week rather than in a wild card game. And, you know, like you said, it gets hostile up there. You know, they're excited for a playoff game and to potentially host the Super Bowl, you know, to play at home in the Super Bowl. And I think the one factor that really kills the Vikings is Drew Brees versus Case Keenum.
Yeah, but we keep saying that every week. And Case Keenum's
a killer, guys. He still gets it done.
All right, so then the one game everyone's saying is going to be the upset. Well, it's not an upset because the Falcons are favored. Are they really going to go on the road and beat Philadelphia?
They don't have Carson Wentz. You know the end is coming.
I know.
It's just a matter of time. Give me the Falcons.
But Alshon Jeffrey guaranteed a Super Bowl.
Huh, yeah. Not happening, Alshon.
Yeah, I got
you got paid, Alshon. You're okay.
I got the Falcons, too. And I got the Patriots. They're going to kill the Titans.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Chiefs should have killed the Titans last week. They had them down, and then, you know, the Bears head coach screwed it all up. Just kidding.
Look at his face.
Everybody. He didn't screw it up. How about the head coach take some responsibility? He's the one managing the clock.
Yeah.
It's not all that. The Chiefs had 6 plays in the third quarter, and I believe they ran it 4 of those 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quarter they got killed. That's not on Nagy.
Well, yeah. Their defense broke down.
Right. And how about some players take responsibility, too?
There's a couple drops there.
And it's the head coach managing the clock.
Yeah.
Just like we put this stuff on.
That's what I liked about Nagy. And you know what? Ryan Pace, Ted Phillips, and George McCaskey liked it too. Because before you asked about it, I guarantee you, who do you think asked about it? I'm going to say George asked about it. What's up with your play call?
I'm going to say Ryan did.
I'm going to say George.
I'm going to say George. George just started the interview like this.
I'd like to start by speaking directly to our friend.
You're mean. You're so mean. Anyway, I like Matt Nagy. I think, do we know what he's going to be? No, but he seems to have the energy and the vision that seems to match what Ryan Pace has right now, and I think that's going to be beneficial for the Bears.
All right, I think we're in agreement on that one. And You know what? I think he'll probably expand a lot of packages.
You know, we're trying to expand his package.
Has he struggled with expanding his package?
The packages will be expanded.
Yes. JJ will be so happy. It's JJ Stankiewicz asking the question for NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, we should get out of here, but fun podcast today. Great job on the What Does the Fox
Absolutely, Joe. Us. Fantastic job.
That was hilarious. I was dying during it. I think our listeners...
We have to come up with a new bit.
I know. It's got to come naturally. You can't force these things.
Yes.
All right?
You know, every week there is like a crotch joke to get in there.
I'd like to see him get his hands on more balls.
See, we can't lose Vic.
Yeah.
Vic, are you coming back or not?
Probably not.
Ooh.
Nuts. We lose Vic on top of Fox. This would be terrible. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. I don't know when the next podcast is going to be. This is the time of year where they just come...
Organically.
We'll see what happens.
Not robotically.
We are not going... Neither of us are going to the Senior Bowl, right?
No.
So that's a little bit different. So we will not have an episode from the Senior Bowl. So just stay tuned. We'll let you know when it's coming. It's the off-season now, kind of. But it's been fun. And this coaching search got over quickly. That's nice, too.
It's great.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
See you, everybody.
How big is the round?
I'm not sure how thick it is, but I think it's probably kind of thick.